conveyed off the property. They conveyed separate pieces that left these separated.
Forgot about it.
As things used to occur. Now, that separate piece, the 4.5-acre parcel, no development is planned for that parcel that will remain.
You can't get to it.
Well, no, there is an easement. There is an easement that goes to it. There's a 50-foot easement that accesses it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Which is shown on there. It's a dirt road at this point in time. But nothing is planned for that. It will remain undisturbed. It'll remain in a natural state. It'll remain as open space, and that will be deeded to the homeowners association. The total acreage of the entire parcel, and that would be including that separate parcel, is 40.38 acres. The land is zone AR1. It'll remain AR1. And as the commission knows, one of the stated purposes of the AR zoning district is to provide for low-density single-family residential development. And one of the permitted uses in the AR zone is detached single-family homes on individual lots. Now, the land comprising the Sandy Landing site is located in the environmentally sensitive developing area under the current Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The environmentally sensitive developing area is an area designated as a growth area under the existing plan, and the plan describes the environmentally sensitive development area as a development district with special environmental design and protection requirements. And as we will be showing, we have considered these environmental considerations in the design of this development. Now, back in December of 2003, the County Council enacted the Environmentally Sensitive Development District Overlay Zone Ordinance. And that ordinance, which is still in effect, provides that if a development is utilizing central water and sewer systems and is located in the Environmentally Sensitive Overlay District, clustering of single-family lots to a minimum lot size of 7,500 square feet is permitted. And that ordinance was really the implementation of a provision of the 2003 Comprehensive Plan that recommended that clustering of lots be permitted to 7,500 square feet, the goal, of course, being to create additional open space areas. So in this, in the environmentally sensitive zone where this clustering is permitted, the density, of course, is determined by the underlying allowable density of the zoning district. So in this particular application, the underlying zoning district is AR1 zoning. For density calculation purposes, that requires 20,000 square feet per lot. So for density purposes, what we've done is taken our gross density, which is 40.38 acres. We've deducted that separate parcel that's located down the easement, the 4.54 acres, and that resulted in 35.83 acres net. My point being, of course, is I want to make sure everyone understands that we are not utilizing that 4.5 acres for density purposes. It's being excluded. The 38.83 acres would actually permit 78 residential lots. And we are proposing with this application 77 single-family residential lots, which is in compliance with the authorized density of an AR subdivision in the environmentally sensitive development area. We are also using the clustering authorization to create 7,500 square foot lot minimums. And of course, as I said, that results in increased open space and larger buffer areas, as we'll be explaining when Zach Crouch reviews the site plan. The entire gross open space of the entire development, and this includes that separate 4.5-acre piece, is 17.24 acres, which is 42% of the entire site. And again, using the same logic, if we deduct the separate parcel from that total open space, that results in 12.69 acres, or 35% of the site, in open space. Again, in addition, there would be the 4.5 acres, which, as I said, will remain undisturbed. That percentage, the 35 acres, again, is significantly in excess of the 10% open space recommended by the land use plan and required by the open space ordinance. So the density being proposed of 77 lots, the lot size of 7,500 square feet, and the open space are all in compliance with the applicable county requirements. Now, the reason I went into detail is because the enactment of the environmentally sensitive overlay ordinance is of particular importance in connection with this application. And I'm not sure if Mr. Smith, and I know Mr. Burton, weren't on the commission several years ago when I actually presented to the commission a similar application for the same piece of land. But that application was actually for a MRRPC. And that was in 2003. And I need to explain that because it's a little bit complicated. But before the environmentally sensitive overlay ordinance and before the AR cluster ordinance, lot sizes in the AR zoning district had to be 20,000 square feet, even if you had central water and sewer. And there was no provision that permitted smaller lot size. That was just the minimum lot size, 20,000 square feet. What developed over a period of time was one of the ways to try to get a smaller lot size was to seek to rezone AR land to MR, which permitted you to have a 10,000 square foot lot, and also to seek an RPC overlay, which would permit you to reduce the 10,000 square foot lot to 7,500 square foot lot. So as a matter of practice, I wouldn't say it was common, but it wasn't unusual either, to be seeking an MRRPC, but maintain the AR density. And because it was an RPC, a condition could be placed on the RPC that would say you couldn't have more than the AR density would permit. So in effect, we were creating these clusters through using that method. And admittedly, that is complicated, if not convoluted, way of doing it. And eventually, that was the seed that gave rise to the cluster concept and the cluster recommendation that went into the land use plan and the clustering that actually resulted in the AR cluster and the environmental cluster. And ultimately, that was a decision that the county council made, namely that smaller clustered lot sizes were beneficial and preferred because of the effect of creating open space and basically reducing the lot sizes. So our original, back in 2003, our original MRRPC application was voluntarily withdrawn by the applicant after the public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission. And the two main reasons for that withdrawal were, number one, after we had filed that MRRPC, the county had enacted the environmentally sensitive zone that permitted the clustering. So after we had filed that, the ordinance was created that permitted the 7,500 square foot lots in the overlay zone. Again, that's if central water and sewer are provided. So our application for an MRRPC became unnecessary. The 7,500 square foot lots were permitted, and really all that was required for what we were proposing was a subdivision application rather than a rezoning RPC. The second reason that application was withdrawn was because there was considerable concern and opposition raised by area property owners, and they had expressed some concern over the proposed development. And as I said, some opposition to that original application. A number of people spoke, several letters were sent to the file, and I'm sure a number of those people are here tonight and will be speaking. And I would summarize the concerns that were expressed back at that time as several. Basically, and I think the main concern was that the MR zoning and the RPC was out of character with the area and that the land should be kept AR. And I've explained why we were doing it, was to create the smaller lots. We certainly are addressing that concern now because we're not seeking a rezoning. We're developing it or requesting to develop it in conformity with the AR zoning and in a manner that's permitted by the existing law. And as I said, a policy decision was made by the county that that the clustering of lots is a desirable goal. There was also concern expressed about the wastewater facility and whether DENREC had reviewed that. Some of the gentlemen with me tonight can address any questions you have about that. There was a soil study done that has been reviewed and approved by DENREC. There was concerns expressed over traffic, and again, we'll address that. Basically, this is a 77-lot subdivision. It doesn't have a large traffic impact. There was concern expressed about this separate parcel that I mentioned, and again, I'd be the first to admit it's a very unusual situation to have a piece of land kind of down the street, but that is the way it is. But there was concerns expressed that was being used for density purposes and really shouldn't be, and I gather the commission probably felt the same way and would not have permitted that anyway. But as I've explained to you, we are not counting that toward calculations for density or open space. There were concerns expressed over the general environmental impact, and as Zach Crouch will be explaining, we have basically planned environmental considerations into the plan. And probably the main concern, which, if I could have, I would have tried to address this with the people in that area. I have had some communications with one of the gentlemen who I'm sure will be speaking tonight. And basically that concern was that they'd like to see fewer lots and they'd like to see large lots, similar to one of the developments that's located near the property, which I'll be explaining. And as I said, if I could address that, I would. But that is not consistent with basically the development that we're proposing, the density that we're proposing, and the lot size that we're proposing. That's all I can say about that. Now, as to the particulars of the development, there will be central water, of course, for domestic use and fire protection that will be provided by Tidewater Utilities. Telephone will be by Verizon, electric by Delaware Electric Co-op, and TV by Mediacom. There's ability to serve letters that are located in tab D of the exhibit book that you were given. Sewer will be a central community system. That will be operated by Tidewater Environmental Services, which is a licensed operator regulated by the Public Service Commission. That system will comply with all Sussex County as well as DENREC design and operational requirements. As I mentioned, a soil investigation report was prepared by Duffield Associates that was submitted to and approved by DENREC, and that approval does indicate compliance with DENREC's regulations for on-site wastewater treatment and disposal. That DENREC letter is in tab D of the exhibit book. Due to the relatively small size of the development, 77 lots, a traffic impact study was not required by DLDOT. In the original application, there is a support facilities report that was submitted by DLDOT that states that the proposed development would have no significant impact on traffic. In the plus comments that are in the record, there are comments from DLDOT. They did have several suggestions that they made regarding road alignment and entrance location, and we have basically complied with what DLDOT asked us to comply with, and again, Zach Crouch will address that in a minute. In addition, as part of the preparation for this development and design, a Phase 1 environmental site assessment was prepared by Duffield Associates that indicated that there are no restrictions as far as the site from an environmental point of view for this proposed residential use. Duffield Associates also performed a wetland delineation that is shown on the submitted plans. That delineation was reviewed by and approved by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and the letter of that delineation approval is in the exhibit book in tab F. All owners in the Sandy Landing development will be members of a homeowners association. That association will have the responsibility of enforcing the community restrictions, operating and maintaining the common areas and the community facilities, and collecting fees basically to accomplish those results. We believe that the proposed Sandy Landing development is compatible with the nature of the area. The land is currently owned by Chester Townsend III and his wife. It's been in his family for over 80 years. It was originally purchased by Mr. Townsend's grandfather back in 1922. Now, over the years since it's been in the Townsend family, that area has changed significantly. And there's a map that's in the exhibit book, but there's a larger map that I'll refer to here. And I think as the map will show you, there's a variety of residential uses located in the immediate area. And obviously, blown up in green here is the proposed development. Just to the north of the site, right in here, is a small six-lot residential development called the Bluffs at Sandy Landing. And that is served by a road that actually, an easement that actually comes through the Sandy Landing property right here. On the other side of the site, which is the southwest side over in here, is the Seawind subdivision, which is located right here. Again, has access off of Falling Point Road, and then the road curves around to the Sandy Landing site. The Seawind subdivision is also zoned AR. It contains, I believe, about 46 lots. Seawinds those lots have individual on-site septic systems. The Seawind lots here and the Sandy Landing site are separated by a creek right in here, and then there's wetlands and a wetland buffer that'll be located on the Sandy Landing site. And the Seawinds lots located in here, which these lots are approximately 1 acre in size according to the recorded plot. But these lands also have both tidal and federal wetlands located on those lots. These 1 acre lots probably have about between 150 to 200 feet of the rear of these lots are actually, as I said, either federal or tidal wetlands. The point being, of course, is that there's a considerable distance and buffer between the Seawinds property and the Sandy Landing site. On the other side of Seawinds over here, that's the Dogwood Acres development. That contains approximately 225 lots. The section of Dogwood Acres that is immediately adjacent to Seawinds, that would be right along here, is zoned GR, General Residential. And of course, as you know, that permits manufactured homes. And these lots, basically that adjoin the Seawind development, are approximately 5,000 square foot in size. And then on the other side, across Falling Point Road here, there's a few lots located right in this area here, residential lots. And then there's land that's here used as a chicken farm. It's located just to the, I guess that's the south, or that's the east of the site. As Zach will be showing on the site plan, a 30-foot agricultural buffer is provided along the boundary of the ag lands. The restrictions for the development will contain the agricultural use restriction, as well as the deeds, which will have the agricultural use notice as to those uses being in the area. Now, I think you can see from the area map that the area is developed with several styles of uses and various lot sizes. And I think actually that area is a good example of the evolution of development that's occurred in the Inland Bays area. Originally, if you go back in time, most of the land down there was used for agricultural purposes, such as the chicken farm. As people started moving down, generally for second homes or for summer places, a lot of mobile home type lots, small lots near the water were made, particularly back in the 40s and 50s. Later on, larger lots basically came into demand, particularly because of the need to have on-site septic systems. And at that point in time, wetlands were normally permitted on the lots. And now the next step under county ordinances basically have subdivisions with central community sewer as being an improvement on the on-site systems, smaller clustered lots in order to create increased common space and open space, and to provide buffers and other elements of the development that can protect natural features. Now, again, as part of this application, we originally did go to the PLUS review in Dover. I do want to point out, again, the letters from the Office of State Planning Coordination that state that this land is in a rural area that the planning office designates as an investment level 4 area. And I know we've discussed before that the level 4 area is a state planning area under the state strategies for planning and spending. It's not a land use plan. I think that, again, their position that this is a rural area kind of ignores the reality of what already exists in the area. And I think the map pretty clearly shows that that this really is a residential area along here. In fact, the Sandy Landing piece is really almost an infill piece in connection with the residential development that's occurred along the bay there. Also, I do want to mention that the there's a letter from the Office of State Planning Coordination dated October 13, 2006, that states that Sandy Landing is in a low-density area under the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. And that, I think, the State Planning Office needs to coordinate a little better because that is incorrect. It is not in a low-density area. It is in the environmentally sensitive development area, which, as I mentioned earlier, is a growth area under the plan and an area that's recognized as being appropriate to accommodate the demand for housing units. With that, what I'd like to do is turn this over to Zach Crouch to review the site plan, and then I'll have a few other comments.
Good evening. Zach Crouch with Davis Bowen and Friedel. I'm a registered professional engineer in the state of Delaware. Basically, what I'm going to do is just kind of not be redundant based on what Mr. Fuquay has went over, but kind of go over the site plan and some of the changes we made based on the previous application and the application you see in front of you today. The streets will be private with a 5-foot sidewalk on both sides. And will be swales. We are implementing bioswales in this development to try to eliminate stormwater management. The existing two ponds, the proposed two ponds that are on located on the site, are basically for their amenities or as far as aesthetic pleasing. It's something that the developer wanted to provide. They will not be to treat stormwater management. They will be landscaped around with some benches for the community to enjoy. But there again, they will not be for stormwater management. There will be a discharge pipe that will be connected to them just for any case there, you know, it gets to a point where there needs to be a certain elevation that, you know, it will discharge into the swales. But the means of stormwater management will be through bioswales and filter strips. Street lighting will be provided throughout the development per the TAC comments as well as the PLUS comments from Denerec. As Mr. Fuquay mentioned, wetlands has been approved, and there is an approved JD that is included in Appendix F. We are providing a 50-foot buffer from the wetlands, which is included in your package, from the tidal wetlands, which is required by county code. And we're also providing an average of a 41-foot buffer from the 404 wetlands. That is one of the differences between the application that you see in front of you today and from the previous application. Some of the lots actually, I think, extended into that 404 wetlands line, and now we have pulled everything back to provide a buffer between the 404 wetlands and the back property line. No lots will be extended into the wetlands, as well as no permits will be required for wetlands. Buffers, there's a 30-foot ag buffer, which will be located on the south or the west side of lots 75 through 77, as well as the community system area, and as well as the area reserved for tidewater, which basically abuts where the chicken houses are located on the west side of the property. There will be also a 15-foot buffer, which will back the lots that basically are double-fronted on the county road to kind of break up the back of the houses, in which, there again, we know that's a concern. Woodlands, by pulling back to, that was another concern with the plus comments, and as far as the existing woodlands that are on the property, try to preserve as much as possible. By pulling some of the lots back, we were able to basically save 41% of the existing woodlands. And we did provide a letter or a note on the record plan that will hopefully mandate selective clearing or lot thinning based on just the houses and the roads themselves. With the setbacks being in between the properties and the back property lines, we think we can achieve close to 61% of woodlands being saved. The entrances, per DLDOT and the TAC comments, we had two entrances located on a previous plan. They wanted us to actually eliminate one entrance and locate the entrance down where it ties into Utanka Trails, and which is the 50-foot easement that actually runs all the way back to the 4.5 acres. Also in the plus comments, as you notice in number 3, they wanted us to line up pretty much an intersection as we go to the first, I guess, street in the subdivision. And this is pretty much how it kind of relates to the two, or actually 4 roads coming together. Now, this was also a concern by the residents in reference to, or at least was brought up to Mr. Fuquay, as far as emergency access and things of that nature. And based on the amount of traffic, which is very minimum, you know, this extension here is only going to be serving 3 lots as well as some adjacent property owners. And that will be a public access for both the property owners that are there now. Basically, you have 2 T intersections. With that being said, it kind of takes away from one, the hard left, you want to say, into the development as far as any kind of emergency access. This whole entrance will be, of course, reconstructed for DLDOT standards with at least a stop sign on our property, but all the improvements in that area would be at the expense of the developer. One of the other things that was mentioned in the TAC comments as well as the plus comments was the additional right-of-way, which they are requesting 15 feet on both sides of 341. It's kind of depicted as an off brown, if you want to say, but they are improvements that will be required by DLDOT that the developer would have to improve at his expense. TMDLs. TMDLs was pretty much a concern from Denerec as well as some of the other agencies through the TAC process as well as PLUS process. A TMDL model was put together, and Denerec was actually put together by Duffield and Associates and was submitted to Denerec and was approved by Denerec. That was one of the concerns based on the location to the bay as well as Pepper Creek, but they have reviewed the plan and they have submitted a letter which is included, I think, in Appendix F of the handout. As Mr. Fuquay stated, I mean, SIR, which is the soils investigation report, was approved by Denerec, which is for the community system. Duffield does have a representative here, as Mr. Fuquay says, to answer any questions of reference to the type of system. But they have submitted to Denerec and have met with Denerec several times to discuss the type of design. So any specifics, Duffield's here to answer any of those questions.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is that the site plan layout that you want us to, the commission to consider now?
Well, I think that...
Is that what I'm hearing?
There again, this is what DLDOT wanted. They wanted these two roads to line up.
Right.
But with the concern that at least was expressed in Mr. Fuquay and from some of the residents, and of course, you know, this radius does meet the requirements. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it does meet the requirements, so it can happen. But from the perspective of the amount of traffic that's going to use this, it's minimal. So majority of your traffic will be internal. So there is the ability to put a T intersection there.
If to answer your question, though, and maybe just to add to what Zach was saying, the original plan actually had another entrance coming right in here, right off of this road here, and then also had this entrance here. DLDOT indicated they would prefer just one entrance. So, and also they preferred, as Zach said, that it would line up with this road here, which again, normally that would make sense. I'm not too sure it makes sense in this situation because this is just a six lot road. This is the design submitted. We obviously are going to place the entrance where DLDOT requires us to place it. Ultimately, it will be their call. We think that would make more sense and be better design. But it's not our call.
Right, I understand. Just make sure the commission, who's to decide which plan is going to be approved?
Yes, that is man that was submitted.
Right, and then the other reason I asked the question is that's not the only difference between the two plans. You also show in the lower plan access to the one open space area, which is another thing that I noticed, but and there may be other changes too. But.
No, that is it. I mean, the only thing, this picked up a lot here. Well, picked up a lot, but of course, we didn't want to show an extra lot. So there's a space here to provide a little bit more access. We do have easements running through the ponds. They kind of want to keep these ponds separate for the residents in here. We are putting benches and a gazebo and a tot lot. I think that's on the plan that you're showing, as well as a gazebo and tot lot over here, which comes out to be 1.9 acres of area that they can utilize. This is not counted in the active open space. It's basically open space, but just for those residents. But there are easements. But those ponds are not for stormwater management for by any means. I mean, they will be planted with vegetation to control the geese and as well as they're going to be an amenity. So I'm sure sprinklers will be installed in them as well.
Thank you. All right, sir.
That pretty much covers it from the site plan perspective. If anyone have any questions, please feel free.
All right. The conclusion of Mr. Fuquay's presentation, we'll see.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have some proposed conditions and proposed findings, which I'll give to Mr. Lank and ask him to hand those out. Gentlemen, in conclusion, the proposed Sandy Landing development is designed to be compatible with the environmental aspects of the site. It's a basically a relatively small 77-lot single-family residential development. Central water and central sewer operated by licensed utility companies will be provided. It's designed to provide the required 50-foot buffer from the tidal wetlands and an additional buffer from that point. I think it averages about 40 feet or so.
Yes.
So it's an additional 40 feet beyond what the required 50-foot buffer is. And again, that will be used to protect the sensitive environmental areas and groundwater. As I mentioned before, I know that some of the neighbors are concerned. Basically, they'd prefer fewer lots and larger lots. And as I said, we just don't agree with that, and it's not the proposed design of this development. And we don't agree for several reasons. Number one, clustering of lots to 7,500 square feet is now permitted in the environmentally sensitive overlay zone. And that was a policy decision that the county made. In effect, the county incorporated that from the land use plan into the environmentally sensitive overlay ordinance as a policy because it creates additional open space, it creates additional buffer, and as I said, it's become a permitted lot size. Additionally, the 77 lots proposed is the density permitted in the AR zoning ordinance that is specifically authorized by the zoning ordinance. So we are not here tonight asking for an increase in density. We're not here tonight asking for a variance in lot size. We're here proposing something which is within the context of what the law permits. The location of this development also is in an area that the county has designated as a growth area. Now, the comprehensive plan very clearly indicates that the environmentally sensitive development area is a growth area where development is not only expected to go, but it's directed to go. And I guess most importantly, as the map showed, this is a developing area with already has a mixture of densities, a mixture of styles, and a mixture of lot sizes. In our presentation and what Mr. Crouch presented, I think we've addressed the items listed for consideration in Section 99.9C of the subdivision ordinance. There is a letter that we submitted for the record that summarizes that, which in the interest of time, I won't reread. I'll also refer to a letter that Mr. Crouch had submitted that addresses the environmental impact considerations, which are provided for in the environmentally sensitive development area. And again, in the interest of time, I won't recite that, but I'll just refer to that. I have submitted for your consideration proposed conditions and proposed findings, and subject to any questions you have, that will conclude our presentation.
Thank you, sir. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. Mr. Smith, this would be in your vast territory.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Fuqua. Just to sort of capitalize what I believe I heard during your presentation, that and to reiterate, there was no traffic study required.
Correct.
This proposing sidewalks on both sides of the street in the development.
Correct.
Was provision made for a school bus shelter in the?
That was one thing that we talked about, and you know, we can do that with, you know, the improvements up the entrance. I mean, that's not an issue.
We'd like, if it's approved, what we'd like to do is submit that to the school district and have their approval of where that would be located. But we understand that should be a condition.
Just a question. Do you see any future expansion or request for some type of pier or a boat ramp down to, Stump Creek?
One of the conditions that I had submitted indicates that there would be no individual boat docks or launching facilities. I did not prohibit or say that there would not be a community dock or launching facility. That decision has not been made. As you know, that would, of course, would be subject to DENREC approval. The other communities in that area do have facilities like that, but there'd be no individual. If there would be one, it'd be a community launching facility and dock.
I just got your findings. I didn't get the conditions, but I will at some point, I'm sure. The developers indicated they would respond in DePlus that they would do selective thinning of the trees in the forested areas. Is that what I had heard?
Yes. Zach, can you show that line where the wooded area is?
The existing lawn runs right here. I mean, it's probably a little faint on the color renderings that y'all have. But, it's kind of hard to really get the picture of what the development space looked like if we did selective clearing in there. But, you know, the intent here, there will be a note on the record plan, and it'll be implemented so that construction will start from right away to right away, and that'll be the trees that will be removed, and when the houses are built, hopefully, it'll be based on, you know, the building footprint of the house. So we're hoping that it will, you know, I can't sit here and tell you that, you know, if a tree's 5 feet away, if somebody can cut that tree down. But, you know, it's going to be, if anything's within the setbacks, I mean, there's no need to clear trees within the setbacks. And that's the intent of this.
And again, you gentlemen understand that obviously trees would be removed from the right-of-way areas, from the building areas, et cetera. The idea, of course, is it is not only desirable, but it's a nice amenity to have the areas with trees on it that can be preserved, and that would be the intent.
This plan does call for, I believe, as you mentioned again, and provides the necessary and appropriate buffers from the ag areas as well as from the wetlands.
Yeah, the ag area, the required ag buffer would be over in this area right along here. Well, actually along here, which is where the chicken farm is, but that would be provided along this entire length here. There is also a buffer along the road frontage here that would be the rear of these lots, and obviously no lots have direct access to that road. And then, of course, there's the environmental buffer, 50-foot required buffer, as well as an additional buffer that averages about 40 feet.
The area there, I believe, is referred to as Otonka Trail, and the right-of-way dedication there, that will not interfere with any of the access that's on that at this point.
No, this Tonka Trail, which has a different name on here for some reason, but Tonka Trail is this road right here, and it serves the lots back in here. That is an existing easement. Those folks have the right to use that, but it is just an easement. That is this road right here, and again, obviously, that would just be further improved, and it would not change anything in terms of that access.
So, reiterating what you said, you see it as an improvement.
Well, when I said it'll be improved, it obviously, when the roads are done, it will be repaved and maintained by the Sandy Landing Association.
Could perhaps Mr. Crouch give me a better feel for that, for the area down there where the infiltration beds and those utility type lots were, the ones on that side of sort of Ballast Point Road?
This area here?
Please, yes, sir.
This is where, this, I guess, the area B, which is the dark green side of the two lighter. I mean, this will be where the community system is located. And the water system, if the need for additional storage and or water treatment will be located here by Tidewater. The Tidewater will be involved in both of those as far as, you know, maintenance of the community system as well as water.
Could you give me and perhaps the public also an idea as to any noise levels that would be associated with those facilities on that site?
Gerard Esposito, President of Tidewater Utilities and Tidewater Environmental Services. With me tonight is Greg Curry, who's also an engineer with our company. These are enclosed treatment facilities. They are very quiet. They do not operate full time. They have small pumps. We have systems like this throughout Sussex County that are right within the community, and be happy to take you to them so you can audibly detect whether or not what I'm saying is true or not.
Any storage of chemicals that's associated that could possibly be a contaminant?
In our water facility, should we locate one here, which we don't plan to right now, we do use chlorine and some other chemicals to adjust the pH and the any other treatment. And the wastewater treatment facility, either Zach or I'm not sure what is designed for this, but there are chemicals involved in, again, chlorine for disinfection. And I'm not sure if there are any other ones included in this design, Zach.
Duffield and Associates, they have a representative here that actually designed a community system, so I'd like to bring them up to answer that specific question.
Yeah, It's a
long-term.
Sorry. I'm Steve Smale. I'm a professional geologist with Duffield Associates, 128 West Market Street here in Georgetown. The wastewater treatment system being proposed out here is a conventional bed-type system with a slight crest to it, 12 to 18-inch crest on it with subsurface disposal. The treatment plant, the chemicals you're referring to, typical chemicals, and that would be like chlorination for disinfection purposes and final treatment, and then typical operations of a wastewater treatment facility.
In both water and wastewater facilities, chemical storage is inside the treatment plant itself.
And you adhere to the guidelines and that are placed on you as a publicly regulated utility into
yes.
the safe handling and disposal of? Okay.
Yes, we're regulated by various state agencies for that.
And the two pond areas, they're going to be as an amenity.
That is correct. I mean, they're not going to be the source of stormwater management based on what we're doing right now. You know, of course, we hadn't went through design yet, but we think we've done this on other projects to use bioswales to kind of utilize the swales along the roads themselves for stormwater management. The ponds were just something that the developer wanted to provide for the community that, you know, instead of having lots back up to each other so they can have something to look at instead of somebody's back door. But yes, they're just going to be an amenity, and you know, we will have plantings around the perimeter to, of course, control geese and other habitat, and that's pretty much about it. And I'm sure there'll be maybe a sprinkler or two in there just to keep it, you know, to move the water circulated. But yes.
And the outfall, any anticipated?
Yeah, we would have it just for emergency purposes only. There would be an outfall just so that, you know, if for some reason we did get, you know, 13 inches of rain like we got a couple months ago, at least Seaford did, that there would be an outfall so that, you know, the ponds would not overflow. But, you know, from the perspective of off-site drainage from the roads will not be conveyed into that system.
Would that outfall go to the bay or?
No, it would go into the swales.
I see.
Yeah, we have an easement here in which, you know, we'll tie in with the swale, so it'll just tie right into the swales and be treated through the swales.
And the amenities then would be characterized as sort of passive with walking and associated biking,
yes.
et cetera, on the sidewalks throughout the development, the gazebos and the overlook areas, overlooking the reflective ponds.
Yes, that is correct.
Other questions at this time?
Sure.
Thank you, Mr. Gordy. The four and a half acre lot area there, you said you're going to convey to the homeowner association?
Right, so restricted to not being developed.
Okay, and they'll be in charge of maintaining that?
Yeah, but I mean, it's basically...
Put it down?
Yeah,
okay.
It's just in a natural state now and will remain that way.
How about the area up there along the Indian River Bay? Is that going to be conveyed to the Homeowners Association also?
I'm sorry, which area is that?
It's from the Indian River Bay there. It says private open space.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about?
This piece here?
Right, yes.
That part.
That's part of it?
Yeah, that would all be common area of the association.
Okay. Is that wooded also now? Or is that wetlands?
Yeah, it's actually just wetlands because the woods actually wraps around this area here.
Yeah. And what about the area on E? Why does it want to be open space?
Just to kind of, you know, it's just going to be an open space for the adjacent property, but nothing's going to happen there. It's just going to remain open. No lots.
This is the area closest to the bluffs on at Sandy Landing,
okay,
and it was
so
just
have a
just kind of a buffer.
Okay.
And then A is going to be with a top lot? Is that what A is?
No, A, I'm sorry. A is going to be where the pump station's located.
Oh, pump station.
It will be a pump station.
That's all the question I have.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Burton.
So there will be structure on this of some kind. There'll be a building for the either the water treatment plant or the
on
the strip here. Is airstrip.
That's the water. The water treatment is would be.
There'll be a building
here.
On it.
This would be the wastewater treatment here.
Would there be any?
Can you describe the? Can you identify yourself and just describe the actual improvements that would go there?
Good evening, Greg Corey, Tidewater Utilities. The lot set aside for...
Excuse me, sir, if you are going to be testifying as an expert, I need you to tell us what qualifies you to do that.
Yes, sir. I'm a mechanical engineer working with Tidewater Utilities.
Good answer. Go ahead.
The parcel set aside for the water treatment facility will have the capability to include a ground level storage tank to provide fire protection. It may have a well drilled, and in that case it would have a water treatment facility to bring the water quality to the standard for distribution. The building itself is usually relatively small, at 20 by 30. We work with the developer to make it aesthetically compatible with the development.
Would there be a structure on the longer strip or just over here?
To be honest, I'm not as familiar with the wastewater treatment. I assume there would be some type of structure.
I can speak to that. Steve Smaller again from Duffield Associates. On the wastewater treatment plant, the actual treatment process itself is a package plant, but it typically can be enclosed in a house type structure. What's very typical anymore around here. You see the kind of ties in with the architectural style of the community, but it's isolated in a very small portion of the elongate. Most of that property over there, from the visual observation, would be open space. It would be a subsurface drain field, open with no structures on top of it, but a small treatment plant. Encased in a residential looking type facility on one end of it.
Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you. Mr. Lang.
No questions.
Mr. Counts. Just one follow up on the well site. Is the site there large enough to protect the wellhead area so that you get the 150 foot radius minimum? Looks like it might be too small.
It would be a little close. We'd probably need to apply for a variance from Denrec in one direction or another. I think the depth is 200 plus feet.
Could make an adjustment to the adjacent lots there that you're proposing to make sure that you have an adequate wellhead protection area.
Yes, Mark. If we had to shift those three lots, flip them based on, the appropriate distance, that would not be an issue. But we will have Tidewater looking at before we do submit, as we move forward with this, if we do receive the approval, we will resolve that before we get final. So that
the reason I bring that up is you're aware the county needs to adopt wellhead protection requirements, and I don't think it would be fair to have whatever those requirements are imposed on adjacent property because of your well.
Yes.
That's all. All right, sir. Mr. Roberts.
No questions.
All right, then.
We'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Anyone here who would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2005-68 Sandy Landing LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Okay. Is there an attorney representing any particular group this evening? Is there anybody else representing any particular group this evening?
Hi.
Wait a minute, I'm doing the talking right now. Okay. That's it. All right, now it's your turn.
first you have to tell us who you are.
Good evening. My name is...